Two modern elf brothers must use ancient magic to hang out with their father's disembodied legs one last time.
Welcome to the Walt Vault with
Michelle,
Andre,
Louise,
and me, Emily. We're a family-friendly podcast where we pick a new Disney movie each week. We watch it, share our thoughts, and then relate it to pop culture, fandoms, and anything else that pops into our heads. Enjoy!
Hello and welcome to the Walt Vault, episode 94. What's up, guys? We're still home. We're still here.
Hey, friends.
We're still hanging out. It's April of 2020 now.
What is today? April 5th. Today, and this episode comes out tomorrow, April 6th.
Yes, we're recording.
Captain's Log, day 242 of quarantine.
We're still locked up.
It makes me feel like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Don't they do that on submarines? Like Captain's Log.
Probably.
I think that's more popular from Star Trek. That's the Captain's Log
I knew
we're
that.
Talking about. Anyway, this week we are talking about the 2020 Pixar film.
Wow, a 2020 film.
Onward. That's right.
This is the first time I think we've done a movie in the same year it was released, right?
Maybe.
But this is like the first time we've done a movie that should technically still be in the theater.
That's true.
So this is the freshest release we've done.
Extra fresh. It's so fresh. In fact, it just came out on Disney Plus, 3 days ago?
Yeah.
Something like
and
that.
And when did it premiere in the theaters?
It came out on March 6th.
Okay, so this is a fresh movie.
Yeah.
This episode is coming out a month after.
Yeah, yes. A month after its theatrical release date.
Which is pretty nuts.
So, I guess... Well, we'll talk about that a little bit first. So because of all of this quarantine funness, I feel like Disney kind of just knew they weren't going to make any movie or any money because it had already come out in the theater. Like, what would be the point in re-releasing it in the theater in October or something like that? So they made the executive decision just to put it on Disney Plus, this and Frozen 2. They were like, okay, we'll release Frozen 2 early, and then we'll release Onward on Disney Plus, which I support. I've actually seen a lot of people watching Onward on Disney Plus lately, and I'm like, well, that's good. It's giving them something fun to do.
I mean, yeah, you know? the movie theaters literally all closed down, like, you know, 2 weeks into.
Andre and I literally saw this in the theater, and I think the movie theater closed like the next day.
Yeah, we went and saw this on a Friday night
because we were worried we weren't going to be able to see it. So we were like, okay, let's go see it. There was, like, 8 people in the theater, and then that was, like, the first time we had massive, like, quarantine anxiety. We were like, whoa, we probably shouldn't be here.
That definitely wasn't my first thought.
Okay, well, it was my first thought. and then I'm pretty sure the theaters closed that weekend, and then they announced the next week that they were going to put it on Disney Plus. And we were like, well, I guess we didn't need to waste our money, just like how you bought Frozen 2, Emily.
So mad. Still so mad.
But it's okay. I'm excited. So let's get into our first impressions. Luis, I'll start with you. First impression of Onward.
I thought it was really cool. I liked it a lot. Mm. It's funny because I talk sometimes I'm like the curse of the commentator. I'll talk all this nonsense about a thing and then the opposite happens. And I wasn't thrilled at all about the idea of this movie, but I was completely changed. I liked it.
Nice. Did you watch the trailers for it?
No.
Oh, okay.
That probably helped me get around a lot faster, I would say.
Yeah. I've been telling Andre this too. Like, I just need to stop watching trailers for movies because it gives me like these expectations of what this movie's going to be. And then when I go see it, I'm disappointed. So that's my first impression. When I saw it in the theater, it didn't live up to what I thought it was going to be because I was super, super excited from the trailers because I like fantasy stuff and I like fantasy world things. But upon this viewing, I enjoyed it so, so, so much more. And not to say it wasn't a good movie the first time I watched it. I just think my first impression is that it wasn't the strongest Pixar movie. But do I really like this movie now? Like, upon this viewing, yeah, I had a lot more fun watching it this time. Emily, first impression.
I really liked this movie. I, like Louise, we haven't seen it, and I also didn't watch it. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't even know who the voice actors were. Like, I knew.
Wow.
So nothing.
We only figured out that Chris Pratt was in it because it, like, when you pull up, you know, Disney Plus, it's like, starring Chris Pratt, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Yeah.
And FYI, had no idea it was Tom Holland until the end of the movie.
Really?
Oh, really?
The voice didn't stand out to me, like, not in a bad way. Just, I didn't pay attention to him very much.
He sounds, like, less whiny.
Yeah. So, until right at the end, I was like, is this Tom Holland? Louise was like, yeah, you didn't know? I was like, oops. So
it's funny.
I had zero knowledge about any of it. So we were just kind of like strapped in for the ride. Like I felt like dad's pants just going along with everything. So I really enjoyed it a lot.
Nice.
You didn't know who anybody was. You were just tapping their toes and stuff like that.
Yeah. Andre and I knew.
Toes.
It's just so interesting because now we're going to have two complete different perspectives because Andre and I knew quite a bit going into this movie. And I think that's why we felt different about it at first. So what's your first impression, like, the theater versus now?
Yes, I mean, first impression, we saw it in the theater, and it wasn't that impressive of a movie to me. Now, I did pull a classic Andre and fall asleep for about 15 minutes in the middle of it.
Yep.
I love the movies, okay?
Listen. He's literally becoming his father because this is what his dad does at every movie. He's so much like his dad. Where I'm like, why are we going to the movie for you to take a nap?
You guys, what we're doing is creating a beautiful experience for Andre. You know, I get to go to the movie theater. I watch a movie. I fall asleep during that movie. I miss a bunch of it. I leave the movie theater. I'm like, yeah, that movie was okay. I've seen it. Then it comes out on home video. I watch it again. I'm like, wow, that movie was amazing.
He just said home video. He's exactly like his daddy, old man.
Whatever.
Home video.
On demand.
Anyways.
FYI, Andre's dad is a very handsome gentleman, so that's one good thing you got going for you.
That's true.
Right,
I'm not mad that he's exactly like his dad. It's just funny as he gets older, I'm like, oh my god, you're your dad. It's ridiculous. So yes, he fell asleep in the theater.
Can I finish my first impression?
Go ahead.
Okay. So it didn't make that much of an impression on me the first time I watched it, but watching it this time, it was really fun. I liked it a lot. Now, the first time I watched it, I had said that on the up level of a Pixar movie, it wasn't like doing it that much for me.
We both had that first impression.
But in terms of it, just you know, I don't know. I guess I put Pixar on another standard. You know, we talked about all the Toy Stories a couple of weeks ago, and I wouldn't put this in the same category as any of those. Those are like very near perfect movies, and this one was a really good movie, but not as perfect as a Pixar movie is supposed to be. I think. I don't
know. I made the comment that it was better than The Good Dinosaur, but on the same caliber as About Brave. That was my comment. But like I said, I think I went into it with way, 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 way too high expectations. I was so excited that Chris Pratt and Tom Holland were going to be in it. I was so excited about the storyline, all this stuff. And then I was like, hey, okay, whatever. And then this time when I watched it, I think because I was going into it with, like, way less of a critical eye and, like, expectations, I was like, oh, my gosh, this movie's really good. So I'm happy, like, I was able to watch it again, and we were both really excited to watch it again for that reason.
Yeah.
It's hard when that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like I don't want to watch trailers anymore. Like, I just need to go into movies being like, what's this about? It's so great, you know?
Yeah, going in blind is can be fun. This time, I mean, I didn't have a ton of expectations from the trailer that I saw. Like, I was excited because it was Chris Pratt and Tom Holland and magic, and that was about my excitement level and nothing else.
I know the one thing that I did know was that it was going to be nerdy, that there was going to be like a lot of nerd references, and I dig that subculture. I'm not like super a part of it or anything, but I like it. I think it's funny, and I think it's like quirky and weird. And so I was ready for all of those references, and like for one of the brothers, I didn't know which one, but for Barley to be so freaking committed to his characters and things.
I love Barley.
That did not disappoint for me. I very much appreciated that.
I think upon my first viewing, I was like, if Barley wasn't in the movie, I would have been disinterested. And then upon this viewing, I was like, oh my God, I love Barley so much. He's so freaking hilarious.
Barley's the best.
So I think Barley's the best.
That's definitely what Louise said. Well, I don't know what Louise said was at first was if Chris Pratt wasn't the voice, I would be less interested.
It was a perfect fit.
Yeah, like for example, if it was Olaf's voice doing it.
Okay, that's a bad example.
That's a very bad example, but. Perfect. I mean, I have a feeling they cast them together for a reason because they've already worked together and stuff.
And because they're gigantic stars, yes.
Yeah, and they're big stars.
Exactly.
But Chris Pratt is hilarious. So I think that was perfect.
Well, Luis and I were talking about this off camera, but one of the things that I really like about Chris Pratt, which usually I'm not fond, I have a really big problem with having big stars in animated roles, because for me it's like I can't get their face out of my head, so then I'm putting their face to a character. It's really hard for me.
Yeah.
So like when Elsa was first on screen and I'm hearing Idina Menzel, it made no sense to me that she was like white blonde, like her hair was
okay,
because Idina Menzel is like super dark haired, so those types of things bother me sometimes. Yeah. So point being is that Chris Pratt is such a fantastic actor, voice actor, that it didn't bother me because he was Barley. Like, he can play super oafy, nerdy, creepy, sexy, nonsensical teenage boy, not teenage boy, 30-year-old man child. Like, he plays every role very well.
Have you seen Parks and Rec?
I have seen parts with him, and I have been disgusted, yes.
Okay, because this to me was bringing it back to that character, where he's just, like, silly and ridiculous and weird, and I kind of felt like he brought a lot of that out in his voice acting with Barley, yeah. So I liked it. I was like, okay, Chris Pratt, going back to your roots here, like, doing this kind of humor, but, like, through voice acting. So I, like, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was just nice not to see him looking like,
oh my God!
In that show,
yeah.
Emily just sees Star Lord. That's why.
That's right.
the character of Barley, he really reminded me of like a rock and roll nerd. You know, there was this movie called Fanboys, where a bunch of nerds go off and try to help their friend get to see the episode one of Star Wars before it came out, because he was like gonna die or something like that. And there was a character in there played by Dan Fogler, who you'll remember from Balls of Fury and Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. He played Jacob. It's that guy.
Oh.
But so he, in his early career, he played like a ton of Barley type characters. Dudes in jackets with ripped off sleeves, long hair, rocking metal, doing this a lot, and then also knowing all the rules to Dungeons and Dragons. He's like that specific kind
like
of
Barley.
Character was all over this guy's career. And so having it be Chris Pratt instead of this guy, Dan Fogler, or any other voice actor, he blended in very, very nicely for me as well.
Awesome.
I feel really bad having to say this, because I don't know if I would have made this connection, but my mom said it, and then I was like, Mom, why would you say that? And you'll know why right now. So I've told you guys before, we play the Disney Kingdoms game, right? And
brought
this up last week because there was the characters from Frozen 2, and we were like, are these even characters, right? So right now is everything is this movie, Onward. Everything in the game right now is like getting your Onward characters and blah, blah, blah. And so my mom had not seen this movie, and she goes, doesn't Barley in the game look like your ex-boyfriend from high school? And I was like, no. And she's like, no. He listens to rock music and he likes those nerdy games. Yeah. And may or may not have been in World of Warcraft. So, I mean, it's kind of similar. So then we're watching this movie.
Dang,
and I'm
Mama
like,
Carol,
why did
you
have
there.
To say that?
Mama Carol.
But the good thing is that it was Chris Pratt. So we win all the way around.
You're
yes.
like, well, if you're telling me my first boyfriend was Chris Pratt, then it's fine, you know?
No, it's not fine. I would have stuck around longer, Louie, if it was Chris Pratt. Not Andy, but, you know, Star-Lord. Moving on. Just had to share.
Not Andy, only Star-Lord.
Andy's cool.
I like Andy. Okay, whatever. Anyways, so let's get into this story. We have an opening scene, which, once again, Pixar always killing it with the opening scenes. The opening scene really wrapped me in because it played to my, like, I like magic and I like fantasy and blah, blah, blah. So if anybody also has some good fantasy books for me to read, listeners, hit them up in the comments, because I'm trying to get on that fantasy book kick. They're talking about this realm. The world used to have magic, right? And I'm still assuming they're elves.
Yeah.
Are we assuming they're elves?
I believe they're elves.
They said they're elves.
Okay, they said they're elves. Okay, so they were
wizards. I'm looking for two elf teenage boys.
Okay, so they're wizards. Back in the day, magic was just more prevalent in the universe of how you would think of all these magical creatures roaming around, and wizards using things to their benefit. It didn't seem like they were evil or anything like that. I didn't seem like there was any evil magic going on. But it was hard to master, right? That's what he said. It's hard to master.
Yes, it was difficult to do.
And so I like that transition into, like, oh, this is easy, a light bulb, and all of this, you know, technology stuff. So I thought that that was, like, a pretty clever way of setting the stage for this whole movie, honestly.
For the present.
Yeah, for the present.
So it's really interesting, because I would assume that their present is pretty close to our present, like generally the same time period. So if you even if you take and put us into their timeline or into their world, right? Because this is obviously not our world. It's just like a parallel, kind of like Earth 52 or something.
They have like two moons in the sky.
They live in mushroom houses. They're not the same.
Right there. I like that premise of that magic has always been there, but it's just been forgotten. I totally dig that as well. It makes it more interesting to think that you don't have to explain why magic is there. It's just like one of the elements or something. I really like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really clever. And I like it. So, like, the whole magic premise of this movie, I'm, like, super into. And the fact that they basically relate it to a game that's a pretty much Dungeons & Dragons, right?
Yeah, I didn't catch the name of the game that Barley plays, but yes.
It's something of yore.
Old Days of Yore?
No. Quest of Yore.
Quest of Yore. I play it.
Stop reading my notes. He's reading my notes, you guys.
Say it from your heart's fire.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we have two characters. Barley, we've touched on. He's the older brother. He's quote unquote the failure, whatever. He's a very eccentric person who is very into magic and knows what he likes, and that's just who he is, right?
Well, also, he likes to go out and hang out at the fountain and claim that it shouldn't be torn down because of
he's a hippie.
Y'all are just all over the place. Pause. He's just graduated from high school.
Right.
Within the last year. He really believes that everything in the book, in his Quest of Yore book, is real and historical. That's why. He's not just some crazy person. He thinks that everything in the book relates to their town. So that's why he's going back and, like, saving the fountain, because the fountain is, you know, part of the quest.
It's historical.
It's historically accurate fountainage.
He's hilarious. I love him.
But that's important, because at first I didn't think that it was real, right? So I was like, he is kind of just taking this game thing too far, and I was thinking, like, maybe he needs to grow up. But he really believes that it's historical. So he's kind of like a mini historian.
Yeah.
He's like an anthropologist.
That's pretty much Indiana Jones.
He's pretty much Indiana Jones.
There we go.
It takes on a different perspective when you think of it from that way.
Yeah, that's true. Then we have the younger brother, Ian, who it is his 16th birthday. Ian is very soft-spoken. He is shy. He doesn't have a lot of friends. And he honestly seems like just a very anxious kid.
He's
very
really
nervous.
Annoying.
Yeah, very nervous. He's geeky. He doesn't know how to stand up for himself quite yet. I think my favorite thing about him is that he makes lists, because that's something I totally do and can relate to. And I just thought that was so cute that they had him do that, like making lists of, like, this is how I want my day to go, right? Like, that's, I think that's so cute. And so, yes, he's the younger brother. It's his 16th birthday. And then we learn pretty quickly that they live in a single parent household. It's just the mother, who she is played by who?
Julie Louis-Dreyfus.
Yes.
Who you remember from Seinfeld and Veep.
Yes.
Who was she in Seinfeld?
She's how come I can't remember her name now? But she's
Elaine.
Elaine, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I love her.
The soup lady.
Yes.
I love Elaine.
Yes, so that's who she is. And I was telling Andre earlier, I made the comment, I was like, oh my gosh, like Ian and Barley don't really look alike. And he made the comment, he was like, Barley looks like the mom and Ian looks like the dad. Because right. We're assuming if you see the dad's legs, he's much thinner build.
They
show pictures of the dad. So we learn that they live in a single family household. And throughout the movie, we learn that it seems dad has died at when Barley was very young due to some kind of sickness. He was sick. Yeah.
Yeah. Dad died before Ian was born, or right around the time Ian was being born.
Yeah, basically around the time Ian was being born.
Because Ian has no memories of his father, and Barley has three or four, depending on when you ask him.
Three or four.
Yes. But yeah. So Ian, because he never got to meet his father, he's like really obsessed with him. You know, and he wants to be like him. He wants to know about him. He wants to think about the things that he was thinking of and all of that kind of stuff. He really wants to emulate himself after his father. And it makes sense because homie looks exactly like him, you know.
Yeah, he does.
Minus the beard. He looks exactly like all the pictures that he has hung up mm-hmm. on his wall.
And I think because it's his 16th birthday, which mom said you're an adult. So we're assuming 16 is an adult in this world.
It's a rite of passage age.
Rite of passage age. It seems like he's an adult now. And he's wearing his dad's old college sweater, and he's going to go to school and be different today. It's just so sweet. I really like it. All the while, Barley is just being insane and is like, I need to do this rite of passage ceremony. If this was in the real world, you'd be going on a quest. All this
right.
crazy shenanigans, just being that annoying older brother, right? I love it.
So Ian goes off to school. Oh, wait. We also get introduced to mom's new boyfriend. Colt Bronco, who is...
Before we move on, the mom, I really like the mom. From the moment she's on the screen, she's doing, like, her jazzercise, and they're telling her, like, she's
a warrior.
She's a mighty warrior.
Dig it. She's hilarious. And she has a nice haircut and great glasses. Just saying.
Yeah, she does. I really like the mom, too. but I can't stand the boyfriend.
So she's dating this new guy, Colt Bronco.
Louise's face.
He's a centaur. And he's also a cop, so he's just the worst. And he comes in and goes, hey, hardly working, or what's it, working hard or hardly working?
Dad jokes.
he's really insufferable for the first most of the movie.
No, he's pretty insufferable the whole time.
Yes, the entire
so
time.
So annoying. I told Andre this is the one time. This is the one time I will say not nays before bays. Okay. The one time.
But he's not a horse though.
He's part horse.
He's not
he
a full horse.
Like
the difference.
You know who is a horse though? Guinevere, the van. Barley's ride. That's the name.
Unicorn.
That's the name before bay that's the car that I'm putting
okay.
before the horse. You know
I'm
what I'm saying?
It. I'm about it.
Anyway, Ian goes off to school. He
tries to invite people to his party.
Yes.
Oh, it's so.
And they
cute.
Were gonna go. It was so
yeah,
sad.
Were gonna go.
All of his potential friends are actually cool. Like they're nice people.
And I don't even think they were judging
and
him.
And they like
or
him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he comes up to them. He goes, "Hey guys, you parties? Do you like parties? I like parties. Parties at my house tonight.
You like cake? I like cake.
You like cake? He wrote it on his hand. He's just so nervous about everything.
I was like Andre, because Andre, what did you say? You said I wouldn't have even gotten this far.
Right, yeah. Well, I think you mentioned, like, you weren't that shy in high school. It's like, oh, I absolutely was. 1,000,000% I was that shy. But I wouldn't have...
That's what he's trying to convince
you. I would have never asked these people to come to my house for a party. I just wouldn't have got that far. I wouldn't have made it to that step.
You weren't shy.
I wouldn't have written it down in the book.
You weren't that shy, Andre.
Okay. Your head wasn't...
How are we friends, then?
Well, I mean, okay, I guess I had friends for sure, but
well, Andre probably didn't pursue the friendship. It was
but making new friends.
I probably came after him like, "Hi, friend."
Yeah, these are the kinds of friends I have.
Probably. It's like I came after him like, "Hi, date me."
Yeah.
Hi, date me.
Now we're here.
Go ahead.
So he kind of botches his asking of his friends to come to a party, but they did seem to agree. Until Barley shows up in Guinevere.
The music that's playing while he's driving up is freaking hilarious. It's like, ooh, I don't know. It's some like old. Some,
sing it again?
No, I'm not going to sing it again.
I think you need but, to.
No. Ooh,
thank you. So he shows up in his freaking sweet van. He's like, brother.
It's pretty sweet.
It's awesome. I love.
Dude, I love his van.
I love how much Barley embraces who he is. Like he really knows what he's about, what he likes, what he loves.
He doesn't care.
And he does not care about it being embarrassing for him or his brother.
He doesn't think it's embarrassing. He's like, come on.
Right.
And he's like,
you know
why would you
really
take the
funny about this? Speaking of high school, is we had a friend, Andre and I had a friend in high school who had a VW. bus van and it's funny because I've kind of been obsessed with them since then, not so much that I'm gonna buy one, but like driving in those is so legit because you don't have to wear seat belts, there's really not seats, it's kind of like a party all the time. So when he rolled up in that, I was like, oh, shenanigans are about to happen.
Oh, they're really like that, like that's how it looks in the back.
I mean, yeah, kind of. If you don't have seats back there.
Oh, dang.
There's no seats. It's just open. So we were on multiple adventures in that van in high school where we were like,
yep,
that's so cool.
Looking at the curtains on the windows and stuff. It's fun.
Yep.
That's very awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
That's not a VW bus van.
No, his wasn't. But I'd never been in a van like that before.
We used to own one like that. It most definitely is just like it is in the movie.
I love it.
His own seats in that van. Because it only had a back seat and a wide open center.
For Luis to just roll around.
Good one.
Guys, my dog won't leave.
Let's do it. Let's go on
right
adventures.
Now. Oh my gosh.
Okay, yeah. So Barley picks up Ian. Ian is incredibly embarrassed by Barley's mere existence. And then and then they head back home where Mom shows up and she's like, okay, boys, you're both over the age of 16 now. You're both technically adults in this world. So your dad wanted me to give you both a gift on this day. So she brings down a wooden thing from the attic, says it's from dad, and then they read a letter, and the letter is the narration from the beginning of the movie. Back in the old times, life was full of wonder and magic and blah, 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 blah. So from there, they give them the gift, which is a magical staff. It is a Gandalf style.
It is a Gandalf wizard
staff.
I believe it is.
Yes.
I want it so bad.
Barley is hyped. He's like, oh snap, we about to do magic. And Ian
well,
is
he's like,
oh,
Dad
okay,
was
cool.
A wizard. And the mom's like, no, I don't think that was
your
a
dad
wizard.
Was an accountant. He wasn't a wizard. Which is pretty funny. So the dad has written a spell that will bring him back to life for one day, and all the boys have to do is put the Phoenix Gem in the staff, say the spell, boom, dad'll pop right up and get to hang out for 24 hours.
Seems legit.
It also seems like something he probably should have told his wife at some point. Like, hey, guess what? In 16 years, I'm going to come back and interrupt you and your new boyfriend out of the blue. Okay, that seems like a discussion that they should have had. But regardless.
Nah, he wanted to check up, you know what I'm saying?
What's going on in here? Who you hanging out with? Oh, a centaur? That's how you're going to do me? Okay, fine.
I mean, the mom was like, can elves even date centaurs? Is like that allowed? I don't know.
Is it allowed?
What kind of question is that? Of course it's allowed.
It seems like it's interspecies, but
no.
Okay.
If he has a brain, he has a face. He's half of a man. All right. If she was dating a unicorn,
their society is our society. Yes.
If she was dating a unicorn, then she'd be in trouble.
Unicorn.
Yeah, unicorns. They're just little trash monsters. They're just rummaging around.
Not necessarily like I would assume humanoid creatures. They're more like animals. So
right.
They don't talk.
Yeah.
Of course they can do it.
He's a cop.
I'm sure I'm not the only person who thought that thought.
No, you are. I didn't think much of
it. If he's a policeman, she can date him.
Yeah. Okay. Fine.
So, Barley takes a staff. He's like, I got it. I know what I'm doing. I know how to do magic and spells because I've been studying in Quests of Lore this entire time. So he tries to do the spells, and he tries over and over to say the spell, and nothing happens. Nothing ever happens. But magic is hard, you know? So he gives up. He walks away, and Ian hangs out in his room with the staff. I think I forgot to mention the part where Ian listened to a tape of his dad. Which is, yeah, probably Sad Times number one of
really sad.
This movie.
I literally said, seriously, Pixar?
Oh, I said that a lot. I was like, come on.
Yeah, the dad and brother stuff is really the Pixar of this movie. And actually, the tape, I think, is the inspiration for how this movie started. The director, Dan Scanlon, and his brother both lost their dad at some point in their lives. And then he listened to a tape after his father had passed. He listened to a tape of his father speaking or whatever, and that inspired him to write this entire story. So this scene where Ian is listening to the tape is really powerful because it's the whole impetus for this movie. He's listening to the tape. He knows it so well that he can have a conversation with his father.
I pulled at my heartstrings.
Through the tape, and it's pretty powerful.
My heart's fire.
So he's doing that. The staff is sitting right next to him, and I think he starts saying the spell. And then magic starts happening in the room. He grabs the staff. He starts doing the spell. He's finishing it up.
Barley says, Holy Tooth of Zadar.
Holy Tooth of Zadar!
But this was after the Barley brother tried to do it and failed miserably.
Right. Yeah. Barley had failed. And he walked away.
Which is sad because Barley just wants to be a wizard. You know?
Yeah. He does. No, he wants to be a mage.
Right.
Yeah, but he's also very excited that his brother Ian has the wizard abilities. He's like, my little brother's a wizard.
Yeah, it's
and I like deal. That because usually that is a clear jealousy plot right there.
Yeah.
Right. But I like that he did it.
Never once.
And that's exactly. What was cool about Barley's nature.
If my little brother got superpowers and I didn't, I'd be livid. I'd be throwing. I'd be in a fit of rage. I'd be so upset. I'm not as good of a big brother as Barley. but thankfully that's not the case. My brother's normal. All right. So Ian, he completes the spell. He says the whole spell, and magic is gone through the air. We see Dad's body being rebuilt back up to his midriff. And then the spell explodes in the room, and everybody gets knocked out. They all get up, and then they see Dad's legs in the closet, and Dad's legs get up and come out, and it's just legs.
Just legs. Who thought of that? Just legs.
I won't lie. So I should have led with this as well. The only thing I knew about the movie because of the game was that there was a creature called Dad, which I didn't know. Was it supposed to be their dad or a dad or just Dad? Mm-hmm. And there was like a creature thing that looked like a dummy on top with legs. And I was like, so then when this happened and you saw the legs moving, I was like, oh, snaps. It's actually Dad. It's not just some creepy thing that they added. Like, it's a real character.
It's Dad.
It's weird to me that they release all that on the game with you having like absolutely no knowledge of like what it even is.
It's because it's out. Do you know what I mean? Like they're doing it because the movie's released. But the only reason I don't know is because I haven't seen it. I guess they're assuming that you've like seen the movie or whatever.
Yeah, you got to be a day oneer. Otherwise, the game has zero context.
That's so funny.
That's how they hate you, man. They're like, they spark that curiosity. Like, you know what? We're going to spark their curiosity and make money off us making money.
Yeah, that's true. So Dad can't hear them, obviously, because he's just a pair of legs.
He can't hear them. He can't see them.
But Barley,
can't smell them.
One of the memories that Barley has of Dad is that he used to drum on his feet. So Barley drums on his feet. They're like, dun, 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 dun. And then Dad goes, dun, dun. And so they know it's Dad, and it's so sweet. And then Dad Legs was even looking around for Ian, like, where's Ian? It was so cute.
Yeah. It's so cute. It's pretty adorable. that they can interact with just this man's legs.
Only Pixar can do that,
him
right?
And his purple socks.
Let's have these kids interact with a pair of legs, but you feel for the legs, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, with the purple socks, like what the man in the store said, that he said Dad used to wear crazy purple socks.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Ian had met with one of Dad's college buddies while waiting at an In-N-Out or something like that, and the college buddy was like, "Yeah, your dad was awesome. He was courageous. He was a cool guy. You should be more like him." And so that really put it into Ian's head to be like Dad.
Didn't say you should be more like him.
Well, that's what Ian interpreted it as.
So here's the deal. I'm going to move this story along because there's a lot of cute points, but we don't have time for all the cute points, okay? They lose the Phoenix Gem when the magic explodes. So they know right now they either have to get another Phoenix Gem or they're not going to be able to hang out with Dad for the next 24 hours. So Ian sets that timer, 24-hour countdown, but his phone's exploded, so they can't talk to Mom. So Barley is like, I know where we can find a Phoenix Gem. We have to go to the Manticore's Tavern, which sounds really scary and stupid to Ian. Yes. So pretty much, I'm going to plot it. Go to Manticore's Tavern, make a journey to Raven's Hill.
Raven's Point.
And then make it out of Raven's Point in Indiana Jones style. So let's get to the Manticore's Tavern. Boom. Tell it.
So they go
Manticore is crazy.
They go to Manticore's Tavern. Barley sets it up as if it's this mystical place. They go in and it's basically a Chuck E. Cheese. They've got balloons.
It looked so scary when you walked in, like.
But yeah, it's a party place for kids. And the Manticore, who was once a fearful and dangerous beast, is now like a manager of a Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah. So
she's like part lion, part scorpion, part dragon thing.
I think that's it. Oh, and bear. I think a bear is in there too.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So yeah, she's a big ferocious monster who manages the Chuck E. Cheese. And she's like, you can get the map to Raven's Point over there. It's on the wall. Ian and Barley try to take it. She's like, no, you can't take it. What do you think this is? She goes on to proceed to get more and more frustrated by them and the goings on of her Chuck E. Cheese establishment. And she finally loses it and starts setting everything on fire. She starts breathing fire.
Well, it's because Ian says something that like lights a spark in her. And she's like, what have I done? Who have I become? But, like, she's literally the most dramatic character in the show.
Very funny. Like, yeah, Manticore is very good.
Yeah, Octavia Spencer.
Yes, plays the Manticore.
No doubt.
Oscar winner. She blows up. She gets ferocious again. She lights her entire tavern on fire. Barley and Ian and Dad have to escape out of there. And Ian has did he use magic?
He did use a magic.
Yes, he uses Aloft Elevar to save Dad.
Aloft Elevar!
To save Dad from from falling fire beams. They get out of there, and Barley has taken the kid's map of where Raven's Point is, and he's like,
the kids menu.
We're just gonna follow this. This'll lead us. Sometimes you just gotta work with what you have, you know.
And one of the best parts here too is that in the background, so they're on their journey, but in the background, Mom ends up on her own journey trying to get the kids. So she knows that, you know, something has happened because Ian's room has exploded and his phone isn't there. But he sees that the Manticore Tavern was someplace that they were trying to get to. So she gets to the Manticore Tavern and, like, all the paramedics are there and the firefighters are there and they're trying to calm everyone down. And she straight up starts breaking the law all up in this place. And she's like, oh,
Mom.
Mr. Cop, I need to see her because I'm a paramedic. And I'm going to make sure she's okay. Obviously, that's not exactly how it happened. But then they just, like, get in the car and bounce. I'm like, she's an arsonist over here, and we're just going to let her go.
That's what happens when a mom's kids are missing, okay? She's
Mama
like, let me get up in there.
Also, Mom knows how to talk to cops, you know? She's got a cop boyfriend. She knows what's up. She knows the ways and ins and outs of how to how to trick the police.
That's true.
And I like it. Also, at one point when she's driving to the Manticore's Tavern, her new boyfriend calls her on her phone, and on her phone the contact that says it says Main Man spelled like horse mane, and the music that's playing is like smooth jazz, which is like really gross.
Disgusting, but so funny. Yeah, so basically they know that they have to go to Raven's Point now. So they're going to be on their way to Raven's Point. Ian's trying to practice some of his magic in the backseat, and now he's learning it's more complicated. He's got to speak from his heart's fire. He's got to focus. He's got to do all these things, right? It's crazy.
Then they run out of gas.
They ran out of gas, and I think this was probably one of my... I think this was my favorite scene. This is funny.
So Barley's big idea to get more gas is to grow the gas can that he has that only has a couple drops of gas in it so that the gas will grow and they can fill up the car
and then
get on their way.
Pretty smart.
He tells Ian that he has to focus on the gas can getting bigger. Focus. Focus on what you want to make bigger.
Yeah.
And Barley just keeps butting in with focus, focus, focus. And so Ian ends up shrinking Barley, which is a pretty funny scene. He gets Ant-Man sized.
Which I was going to say, probably one of the best shrinkage I've ever seen. Like, they didn't overdo the shrinking of the voice or the running or the comedy. Like, the physical comedy was very funny.
He wasn't
too small. You know what I mean? He was like a perfect annoying height.
Yeah, he was
and he still sounded like Chris Pratt. Like, you could tell it was like still him and they just modified his voice. But the next scene is absolutely redonkulous. So they find a gas station, right, to get gas, but there's these sprites that are like motorcycle thugs, basically. it's so ridiculous.
So I called them fairies in my notes, but the fairies, they're motorcycle punks, and they come in, they can't fly, even though they have wings. They walk in and they're just huge jerks. They just mess up everything that's happening in the gas station. They're opening up boxes of chips and stuff like that, and knocking stuff off the walls. Dad, who they're still carting around with them, and they've put the jacket and face on top of the sunglasses, and he goes in, and the fairies start giving Dad attitude. They're like, "What's up, Shades?" And he goes like, to their face, which is very funny, which they take great offense to. And at one point, Dad is walking around, which he can't see. He's just being led by a leash. He accidentally almost steps on one of the fairies, and they start wilding out after that. I think they gather together. They climb on top of each other to open the door. They get out, and Barley and Ian, who Barley is still small, they go away. They go back to their car, and the fairies, they mount up.
Right.
They get on their bikes, and they chase after them.
It's so funny.
And then a whole car chase ensues. Where after they filled up the gas, they're off and the fairies are chasing
too.
Yeah,
it is. Their highways are scary. Just saying.
Yeah, I can't blame Ian for being scared of the merging on the freeway.
Yeah, he had a merging problem, don't we all?
But Barley teaches him how to drive and merge and do all of that stuff. It's a very teachable moment for young Ian who has to drive because Barley's too small. And they evade the fairies, the sprites, by driving them into the red cones that are on the side of the highway, and they all fall off of their bikes and then end up flying again. They out of necessity.
Yeah.
But then after that, they make their way onward to Raven's Point.
Put it in O for onward.
Yes, that's what this
part. At which point they get pulled over by the coppers.
Yes.
This is so funny too.
It's not meant to be onward in their vehicles. Barley adds that with tape, no?
Right.
It is taped on. Yeah.
Yeah. This is it's completely a Barley thing. It's supposed to be a D.
Drive.
D
like,
for drive. Oh, for onward. Because he's a nerd.
Love it.
So, yes, they get pulled over.
This movie very well could have been called Drive.
Basically. But onward sounded a lot better.
Yes. That's pretty good. That's a different movie. Go forth. Yes. So they get pulled over, and because Ian doesn't have his license yet, they're carrying around a body that's just legs, and Barley's tiny and small, and they're kind of like...
No, Barley got big guys again.
Running away from their mom. They have to disguise themselves to not get caught by the cops. So Barley suggests they use the spell of disguise... But the only caveat to that is that you can't lie when you're in the disguise. You have to tell the truth.
That's hard.
Otherwise, the disguise will disappear.
Which is hilarious because the whole thing is a lie. So that makes it very hard to not lie when you're literally lying.
Exactly. So they disguise themselves as Colts Bronco, a.k.a. New Stepdad. Cop Dad. And they have a conversation with the police where...
And I'm like, why is he trying to hide the snacks?
Where they're mostly getting away with everything. Ian is slipping up a couple of times because he's a huge liar. And so his ear turns into elf ear. I think one of his shoes comes out or something like that. And then the cops start talking to Colt Bronco about Barley, because Barley has been in trouble with the cops before. They're like, that Barley kid, he's such a screw-up, isn't he? And Ian goes, no, he's not a screw-up. And that's an obvious lie. So his leg completely transformed back to Ian leg.
Poor Barley.
And they get away.
It was very sad. I was like, oh, no.
Pixar!
They get away, but Barley is so upset that Ian thinks that he's a screw-up, you know?
Well, and the saddest part of it is that he's not, which Luis touched on earlier, it's not that he's, upset and, mad. He's just, deeply hurt.
Right.
You know, he's a good guy. So it's no, it's not Barley.
If my brother thinks I'm a screw-up, no, woe is me. Yeah, so they're in some contention there.
But you know the thing about all of this though is that they never try to split up, because that's when things like in movies I get so annoyed when they're like, "Well, I'm just gonna go on my own." Please stop.
Right.
And during this whole thing, speaking of splitting up, they had Ian wanted to use the freeway to get to Raven's Point.
Right.
And Barley kept saying that you had to go,
the path of peril.
The path of peril, because it's never the obvious path to get to where you want to go.
Right.
Yeah.
In the game.
Marked it out on the map and said, we need to go on the path of peril. And at this point, that's when they actually start going on the path of peril to get to where they need to go. And consequently, they literally take, a veer off into, the forest, and Guinevere's bumper falls off. Next to the road.
Oh, yes, that's right. Meanwhile, Mom and new boyfriend Colt Bronco are after the kids, right? So they're behind them. And Colt Bronco sees that their bumper has been left there, so he follows them along that same trail. They make it to Raven's Point, which is a statue of a raven, and it's pointing.
Yes. And it's pointing.
They're like,
follow the beak.
Where are we supposed to be? But yes, they realize that they're supposed to follow the beak and get to a different statue of a raven, which will lead them to a different statue of a raven.
The cops are in pursuit.
But the cops are right behind them, because friggin' stepdads, man. You know? They're always just hanging around watching your every move.
He's just trying to be a good dad.
Because none of us know about stepdads, but
I
would assume.
I guess.
I assume that's what they do.
Sure.
So I think at one point during this, Barley is giving Ian the cold shoulder because he's upset about what he said, and he blasts some music, and they get out of the car to get a snack, and they start fighting, but then Dad and just his legs hop out of the van, and he just starts dancing to the music that he can, feel through his legs.
I know. Ian's like, what is Dad doing? He's like, I think he can feel the vibrations of the music, and he's dancing.
He's dancing. So they all come together to have a very... fun, heartwarming father-son dance party.
It's hailing
outside.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I could hear it hailing, and then at the same time, my dog is wanting to play fetch and barking, and I'm like, we're recording.
Y'all hear that hail? Anyway.
It's hailing, yeah.
Don't mind
the
hail.
I have to close the window because it's distracting. That's how loud it is.
Okay. Yeah, it's really loud, yeah. I mean, I can't hear it on your guys' end, but it's hailing here. Listeners, is it hailing where you are? I don't know.
Maybe.
Do you live in Florida? Is it hailing there?
This will be up tomorrow. So.
What song was it playing?
I don't know what the name of the song is.
I don't know what song they were dancing to.
It wasn't an actual song.
Oh, was it? Okay. Song for the movie. Good.
Yeah.
Then I don't have to look it up. Hooray.
But that was a really cute... And then they kind of make up, and he's like, Barley, I didn't really mean it in that way. And Barley makes a really good point. He's like, how can you call me a screw up if you never give me a chance to prove myself? are like, you're just automatically like, no, we're not doing that. And like, and that's just where I just really like Barley. And I mean, I always wanted like an older brother, but he is like the epitome of a great older brother. Barley is like, he understands Ian's perspective, and yeah, he's hurt, but he's willing to like move forward with it. And it's just so nice. So they go to the Raven's Point and they find the Raven statues, but the cops are in hot pursuit. And so he says to use this spell, like the lightning spell, to like blast the rocks off of the mountain. Arcane lightning. Thank you. So that it blocks the street so that the cops can't go. And this is another just, oh my gosh.
This is the saddest for me. I was like, oh no.
You were sad? It's just so ridiculously funny.
I was laughing though too.
Yes. Okay. You explain it then. So good.
So arcane lightning is supposed to be like the hardest spell out there. So
yeah.
Ian is automatically like, I can't do it, because he doesn't believe in himself. And that's one of the things you have to do is believe in yourself. So,
oh my gosh, wait, but before this we missed where he had to cross. Oh, no, never mind.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to that yet.
No, he did, where they had to cross the bridge.
I think he did get to that point, but there's been a couple instances where Ian has not believed in himself or is just starting to believe in himself. Yeah. But Barley knows, like, if we don't do this literally right this second, we're going to get, like, arrested and taken home. So Barley takes it upon himself to sacrifice Guinevere to make these rocks, like,
R.I.P. Gwenny.
Down. So he puts on his mixtape, and he, like, sticks it in the cassette player, takes a rock, puts it on Guinevere's gas pedal, and sends Guinevere literally onward into the like, he catapults it practically up into these rocks to make the avalanche happen and block the road from
my
the
favorite
cops.
Part is one of the tire pops and it's like kutukunk, like a horse. Freaking hilarious.
It's not gonna make it, and it does. It flies, and Guinevere flies through the air.
And then there's that music again. Freaking hilarious, dude. Whoever wrote
like
that is
like power ballad playing.
It's
he's
awesome.
Even like Barley, he's like, R.I.P. Gwenny. And so Ian at that point is like, Barley, and he's like, it was just a van, let's go. I'm like, okay, Barley's brother saving the day. And then they just follow the Ravens all the way, and then it gets really questy. I just really like it. It feels like Lord of the Ringsy. They're like on a quest.
Yeah,
you know?
They eventually make it to a cave where Ian, he really comes into his own as a mage. He starts casting a bunch of spells, and he kind of goes through a little montage. He grows a Cheeto Puff into a boat that they hop onto, and then and then he starts practicing spells. And Barley is playing catch. He's throwing it, and Ian is catching it
he's
with
doing,
magic.
Like, the fireworks. Yeah, he really is like getting confident in that moment.
He's getting
like,
very good
at
magic.
Wizard.
Yes, it's awesome. And then they make their way through this cave. They get to the end. And realize that they have to use Dad's leg weight to hold down a button so that they can escape out of a water tube.
Otherwise, that gelatinous cube is going to get them.
A gelatinous cube that has been ominously mentioned several times in the movie has finally showed its face and is about to kill them. And
it's like acidic.
Yeah,
gross.
It's acidic gelatinous cube. Yummy. And they make it out. They get out. They open a thing. And they walk out, and they realize that they're right in front of Ian's school, where they basically started this whole thing. They circled all the way back on this quest.
Question.
They spent 24 hours to get back to high school.
Yeah.
Yes.
Question, though. When you saw that the thing opened and they were in the high school, I immediately, when I was in the movie theater, was like, the fountain. The fountain's right behind them.
It's
the okay, I was going to say, did you guys, like, make that connection? Because I did.
Yeah.
And I was like, hello, the fountain's right there. Like, water, the fountain. And it was, like, bugging me that they weren't getting it at first. I was like, it's a fountain!
I had forgotten about this because in my first viewing, most of, like, the questy stuff, that was Andre's sleep time. That was nippy nap time.
Okay.
So I woke up, and they were at the school fighting a monster.
Yeah, you missed like the whole Guinevere scene too.
Yes.
When we were watching it this time, like when Guinevere went into the rocks, he was like, "Oh my god, I don't remember. This is so funny."
Yeah.
I was like, "Wow, you missed a lot."
It was awesome though. So they get to the school. And they kind of split
the
up.
Character arc.
Yeah. Ian calls him a screw up. And he's really mad. Ian's mad. He takes Dad on a leash and is like, I'm going to spend what time I have left with Dad. And Barley, I mean, he feels bad at this point because he's like really believed that he did what he was supposed to. But he figures it out. He goes to the fountain. He puts the stone in there. And then Barley is like on a cliffside with Dad overlooking the ocean with his list, crossing things out like, I didn't get to do this with Dad. And then this is just the best scene where I started like super tearing up. And he realizes that he did do all of these things. He played catch. He shared his life. He learned how to drive, all of these things with Barley, who is like his father figure.
Yes. It's
And they have all these flashbacks to when they're kids too. Like him in the pool and him riding a bike and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Barley is the best. Right. I love Barley.
Barley has been his dad this entire time.
This whole time.
And it's
so sweet.
It's very sweet. It's very heartwarming.
Louise likes it, huh?
We kept looking at the girls because both girls watched it the whole time. We kept looking over at them like, we want them to have that relationship. It's so sweet. Because, right. You know, a lot of times siblings don't have that relationship. So, yep. You know, you kind of hope that for your kids because, you know, you don't know how long you're going to be around. But it was very sweet to see it on screen.
Yeah,
it is very sweet. I'm sure they will. Addie loves Sissy. You know.
We'll see if Sissy loves Addie.
Yeah, we don't know. You never know. Me and my sister are closer now that we're older. We've been texting like nonstop, especially with this quarantine. But it's so nice, and it's just, and it does take them time to realize it. You know what I mean? Especially as a teenager, Glenn Ian's like, oh my gosh, like Barley really has been here with me forever.
Well,
and
yeah,
they have that deeper appreciation now. It's so sweet.
And he's
way
been,
to go, Pixar.
He's been obsessed with his dead father for 16 years. You know, it's all he can think about. He can't see the Barley dad that he has right in front of him. You know, because he's thinking about. Yeah. Think about dead dad. So he makes this realization.
How about leg dad?
And he runs back to
leg dad before 23 hours ago.
Leg dad.
Like he takes leg dad and runs back to Barley. Barley has figured out where the Phoenix Gem is. It was
in the fountain.
He used the piece that
didn't know about the curse.
Right. They didn't know about the curse.
But they don't have the curse crusher.
The Manticore and Mom are coming back with the curse crusher that they got from a pawn shop. That they basically stole back from a pawn shop, which is a pretty funny scene.
Because she's breaking all those laws. I love it.
Hilarious. The Manticore is also crazy. She like rips her sleeves off and shows all her tattoos and stuff. I'm like, okay, Manticore is crazy. I love her.
She's got furry tattoos. It's impressive. So they release the Phoenix Gem. They put it in the staff, and they start doing the spell. But the curse is seeping out of the fountain and turning itself into a dragon, and using pieces from the school that it is destroying and turning itself into a dragon. And when it puts its face on, which is the mascot face of the Go Dragons team, it's so funny to me. I was dying laughing the entire time.
This was the funniest part to me because she had said earlier that it was going to turn into that a dragon was guarding it.
Right.
And they
had a stone dragon.
And they had already shown earlier, like in the first scene of the movie, when they showed someone getting a Phoenix Gem and the dragon coming and them like crushing the dragon and stuff. So you're totally under the impression it's going to be a real dragon. And then it freaking ends up being mostly the school. And then when it roars.
And it's the school bell.
It's
the school bell sounds like.
At one point, it gets angry and it builds eyebrows.
I'm like, you're never gonna unknow this. You're gonna be at school with the high schoolers and be like,
It was very Lego movie esque to me, like building a dragon out of what was there. It was really funny.
Yes.
And them fighting the dragon too is so funny. I love it. I love that whole scene. It's a great action scene when the Manticore like chops the wings off and Mom's like, I'm a mighty warrior. Yeah. I love it.
It's awesome.
But it is very Lego movie to me. I don't know why.
And Ian has done the spell to bring Dad fully back. And he's like, Barley, you stay. Well, he, first Barley's like, go, Ian, or stay here with Dad. I'll go fight him off. And then Ian makes a sacrifice to go fight the dragon while Barley stays with Dad. So Ian goes off, and he's magicking his butt off. He's like, Aloft Elevar, Arcane Lightning. He's doing everything, and it's dope. He's fighting this dragon with all his heart, and they defeat the dragon.
All of his heart fire.
A lot of heart fire. He defeats the dragon, and he gets taken out. His staff gets exploded. He pulls a splinter out of his hand and makes an entire staff out of it, which is really awesome. Oh, there's thunder now. All right. And then
Arcane
lightning is happening. It's getting hard to hear you guys. Anyway, so after that, he gets taken out and he's in a pit of rocks. And
our dog just got scared of the storm
and damage and stuff. And he can see through a tiny hole in the crevice that Barley is talking to Dad.
He's talking to Dad, and not Dad legs. Dad.
It's full Dad. It's not just legs anymore.
Did we explain why he let Barley do it?
We didn't say why.
Why does he let Barley do it? Did we explain that?
Because Barley never got to say goodbye to his dad when he was sick because he was too scared. And then Ian already had a dad. It was Barley.
Perfect.
Right. I never had a dad, but I had you. That's what he says.
And that's when I was sitting in my chair right there going, literally, tears down my face because it's just so sweet.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing that Pixar does. Like, think about it. If siblings are watching this, like, I bet if I watch this movie with my older sister, I'd be like, I love you, sis. You know? It's just really sweet that they do make, like, good examples out of siblings and things like that in their movies. It's, yeah.
That's what won me over with this movie. When he lets him go, because I was not expecting him to let Barley go at all. That was a complete.
He was so adamant about it.
I looked at him and I was like, "This is a BA movie."
Yeah.
That's I did to say that to Andre. I said it was a little bit slow in the middle there, but once you get to like all of this at the end is where it's like you're sold on it. Like, and especially Barley. Ugh, I can't. Like, I love it.
It was a complete surprise. I was not expecting that at all, and I could usually see how it play out.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it is storming so loud that we can literally barely hear you guys.
It's storming quite loudly. But
it's hailing like crazy, and there's thunder and lightning.
But yeah, this part in the movie, it was very interesting to me because I was...
I was
like let down that Ian didn't get to talk with his dad, you know? Oh. Like, I was very happy that they were able to make that decision together as brothers to go their separate ways in that moment and let Barley talk to him. But watching Ian watch from afar that his brother got to talk to his dad and he didn't, I was, like, heartbroken for Ian. Like, yeah. I wanted him to be able to talk to his dad. Because Barley, when he comes back, he's like, I spoke to Dad. He says that his wizard name was supposed to be Wilden the Whimsical.
I like Wilden the Whimsical.
But, you know, that's the conversation that Barley had with
him. And he told me to give you
this. A hug.
So sweet. Mm. I love it.
So, yeah.
And I think it's so, like, Barley really, and Ian's not wrong. Like, Barley was his dad, and I think Barley needed to say goodbye to his dad because I think that might have been part of the reason why Barley feels like he's a screw up, right? Like he always told his brother, I only have three memories. But he was like hiding the fourth one. So it was like internally eating him alive and he finally got some closure.
Right. His fourth memory was that he never got to say goodbye to his to his father when he was sick in the hospital, which is rough. It's straight up rough city story.
Yeah.
But the movie ends, or the movie is closing, and we start going into a narration by Ian.
By Ian this time.
And magic has kind of been brought back into the world a little bit. Ian is giving like a talk, like a TED talk on magic to his classmates. And Colt Bronco, he's ready to run his heart out. He's not driving the car anymore.
I was born to run.
He pulls his hat off.
That's Fabio hair.
Got so much hair.
Literally Fabio hair.
Fabio.
Yeah, so funny.
It's hilarious.
Maybe we need shirts that say main man on them and it's his picture. so funny.
No.
I'd wear it.
Of all the horses to put on a shirt.
Mace before me.
So, the Manticore's Tavern is cool now. The last thing that we see on screen is Barley saying that he bought a new van, Guinevere 2, and he's gonna go get it a
Guinevere
paint job.
Guinevere the second,
excuse me. He's gonna go get a new paint job for it, and Ian says, "Don't worry about it. I took care of it." And he goes out and he's painted a unicorn onto the side, and it's awesome.
Barley's so excited.
And they get in
on a unicorn.
Barley, yeah. And
isn't it Barley and Ian on the unicorn?
Yeah, they're on the unicorn, yeah.
I never noticed that. All I saw was the unicorn. I need to go back and take a look at that.
No, I'm pretty sure they're on the unicorn.
Oh, I believe you.
They're on the unicorn. I saw it.
Which is awesome.
And then Ian, super cool. He can make the Guinevere fly. Come on, Ian. That's like some Grease ending right there. They just fly off.
No, Back to the Future.
Very Back to the Future ending, okay. Yes. Where we're going, we don't need roads.
But in Back to the Future, they lift off and then go through the housing complex.
Okay, yes. That makes sense.
In Grease, right at the end of the movie, they come off the ground and fly off into the sky.
Yeah.
Really
weird.
It is a little weird.
Anyways, and that's basically how the movie ends, and it's a happy ending, and it's just really sweet. It like pulls at your heartstrings, especially just the way the whole movie comes together in the end.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, you ready for some Easter eggs?
Oh, I'm ready. Emily has like some notage over here. That's like...
I have 2 pages of notes.
Oh, I can't wait.
Hit us with your
Easter eggs.
Okay. No Pizza Planet truck, but on a sign while they're driving through the town, there's a sign that says Pizza Realm, like Pizza Planet, and the Pizza Planet logo is in the thing.
So
with Pizza Rome.
Okay.
A113
heard on the highway, but wasn't there.
Yes. A113 is not shown, it is spoken. When Officer Bronco is on the thing, he's like, "We've got an A113 in progress."
That's the only Easter egg I noticed. That was the only one.
There is a couple different nods to Brave, which it was funny that you brought up Brave earlier because I was thinking about this in my
head.
They look at the map of like where they're going to drive to, and Ian keeps saying they're going to take the highway, and he's like, "No, we have to take the path of peril," right? In the outside corner, it says Brave Wilderness, right? So they're saying like Brave movie, Brave, whatever. But then it has it shows them on the map, the lake of the Loch Lake, right? Is in Scotland, Brave, Scotland, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And when you look at Ian's calendar in his bedroom up against that corkboard, his calendar has a picture of the Will of the Wisps field.
Guys, that thunder, I'm so sorry. That thunder was so close.
The listeners can't hear it.
we can't hear it.
It is so bad over here. We live in the country, y'all. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I like the Will-O-The-Wisp thing. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys remember Triple Dent Gum?
Yeah.
Triple Dent Gum will make you smile.
Oh, that's right.
Inside Out. It's shown 2 different times in the movie. First, it's shown in Ian's bedroom on his desk. There's like a pack of gum. And the second time is in the convenience store when the...
Fairies.
The... What are they called?
The fairies. Sprites.
When the sprites are getting all crazy, she picks up a package of the Triple Dent gum and is waving it around.
Nice. I like that.
There's multiple Lord of the Rings references. We talked about Gandalf's looking staff.
Yeah.
On the side of the road, there's a Burger Shire. And it's now serving second breakfast.
Oh.
I love that.
I need second breakfast.
It's a second breakfast. You're right, Lord of the Rings, not the Hobbit. But still, the Shire, they're hobbits, though.
It's all part of the Tolkien world.
Indiana Jones is referenced a couple different times when they're doing the quest, right? When they're going through, like, the passageway and there's spikes, and then they have to get under the closing door, and Indiana Jones always goes back for his hat, but they have to keep going back for pants, which is dad, right?
And
they pick up the gauntlet right at the beginning that looks like when he changes out the idol for a bag.
Right.
We talked about Dungeons and Dragons, that the quest of yore is just like the game. The book that he carries around is apparently exactly like the Dungeons and Dragons manual.
Okay.
He has the 20-sided dice on his card jack and also on his jacket sleeve right here. So that's obviously a big nod to it. And apparently the gelatinous cube is a Dungeons and Dragons thing.
Is
it? Okay. Well, that makes sense then.
So it's a thing that is in that universe, which is hilarious.
Okay.
There's also lots of Marvel callbacks and Easter eggs. So obviously, Chris Pratt and Tom Holland are Marvel stars.
Spider-Man, Star-Lord.
The Infinity Gauntlet is seen on Barley, one of his patches.
Oh.
It's an Infinity Gauntlet.
That's cool.
He also has a bumper sticker of an Infinity Gauntlet on his van. The mixtapes that he keeps putting in is said to be a
Star-Lord
Guardians of the Galaxy thing. But I thought to myself that him not seeing his mom when she was sick in the hospital, or excuse me, Star-Lord didn't see his mom, and then Barley didn't see his dad. I was like, that's kind of similar with
the first Guardians of the
Galaxy. Yeah.
And then he also has a Hydra patch on his jacket, like Hail Hydra from Marvel. Uh-huh. It's up in the corner right here.
Oh, Hydra.
Whoa, that's sick.
I was telling Andre it would be pretty easy to, like, Disney bound as him. You would just get a jean jacket, like, take the sleeves off, put the patches on. That'd be really cool.
Oh, yeah. Just a little black, like, beanie with, like, one of those spiky bracelets. And then there was a Luxo Balm in the Manticore's Tavern. It was on one of the shields on the wall.
Okay.
John Ratzenberger did have a part in this because, you know, usually he plays at least one character.
Yeah.
He voices one of the construction workers at the end, one of the workers who's like, get off the fountain.
Oh, okay.
One of those. And then apparently they had a nod to both Gigantic and Soul, which are both movies that are slated to come out in the next couple years.
Yeah.
For Gigantic, it's supposed to be like a Jack and the Beanstalk type of movie. And there was magic beans on the floor in the convenience store, and they went through the magic beanstalk forest.
Right, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then for Soul, apparently that movie is supposed to be about, like, jazz music or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And one of the singers in it is supposed to be Dorothea Williams, and she's, like, a main character in that movie. And in the Lightfoot house, there was a record that said it was from Dorothea Williams, titled Soul.
I'm very excited about that movie.
So there you go.
Oh, cool.
Those are great. Thanks, Emily.
You're welcome.
The Easter egg queen coming at you.
My favorite.
Almost Easter. Okay.
It is.
Almost actually Easter.
So let's talk about money for just a minute here, because this movie, it didn't make much. So it came out on March.
Unfortunately,
came out on March 6th, and I want to say that all the movie theaters closed at around March 16th through the 20th, somewhere around there.
And I think the scare was already there, so a lot of people weren't going to the movies.
Correct.
So it's definitely not this movie's fault, because I think it would have made a lot of money.
Yes.
But we'll talk about it.
So it had a budget of $175 million, and it has accumulated, in its 1 month of being out, it has made $104 million. So they haven't made their money back on this. But the numbers that haven't been reported yet are the rentals. So they released this movie for rent like a week ago or something like that. And it's $20 a pop to rent it. And then it's also on Disney Plus, which, you know, they collect their money from subscribers
and stuff like that. Come out in other countries yet or no? So, like, will they be able to release it in other countries probably once this is all over? I would think.
I think it came out in most of its markets already, but it's possible that some markets never received
it. I also feel like Disney also might be like, hey, you can come watch it in the theater for this week or something like that.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know what I mean?
I bet they will
expect them to do
a re-release if they can.
So it's sad, but I mean, is the movie still amazing? Like, yeah, it's a great movie. So I you can't pay attention to the numbers, and it'll go down as history as one of those Disney movies that you can't pay attention to those numbers, you know? I know you can meet Barley and Ian at California Adventure. They, like, did that for, like, a week before it got closed. So I'm hoping, like, once it opens, you can still have that meet and greet, because those are always fun, you know?
Yeah.
I honestly think the dragon's really cute, like their pet dragon.
Oh, yeah.
I really like him, so I think he's cute, too. There's definitely opportunities for merch and stuff like that, that might happen, and I still think it's great that they released it on Disney Plus, because I think it's actually going to get more buzz now than it would if they had just put, like, not done anything.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You know?
Yeah, I think it's really cool that, you know, everybody gets to see it.
Yeah.
Who wants to see it, even though it's impossible to go to a movie theater.
Also, just so you guys know, Artemis Fowl is also going to come out on Disney Plus. It's not going to get released in the theater at all. So maybe once that one comes out, we can do that one as well. So
yeah.
we'll see.
If it comes later in the year.
Later in the year, but they decided not to release it in the theater at all. It's just going to come out on Disney Plus. So.
Right.
Yeah. All right. What has it got on the?
I knew something was going to happen, so they created Disney Plus. I'm just saying.
I mean, Disney,
everybody's going to be home.
Disney's
for a long time.
Wild, and they're using it to their benefit for sure. The Frozen thing, the Onward thing. Now they're going to do Artemis Fowl. Like, they're using it to their benefit, you know, which they should. So, what does this have on the tomato meter?
On Rotten Tomatoes, this movie currently has an 87%. It is certified fresh.
And a 95% audience score.
Yes. So pretty good.
Pretty up
you know, the critics.
And I think it wasn't in there long enough to even really get an accurate rating, I would think, for like the critics score.
Well, most critics will see a movie
before
it's
the movie comes out.
Yes. So I think this is fairly accurate. It says there are 291 reviews and then 8,550 audience reviews. So, I mean, that's
pretty accurate.
That's pretty accurate.
Okay.
The critics' consensus says it may suffer in comparison to Pixar's classics, but Onward makes effective use of the studio's formula and stands on its own merits as a funny, heartwarming, dazzlingly animated adventure. So that's
agreed.
Right.
Yeah, I highly agree with that.
Yeah, I agree with that too. So let's start with Mr. Louis over there, Luis. What are you going to rate this?
Let me ask a question real fast. What's your favorite Pixar movie?
Can't honestly remember.
You don't know, Lou?
I wanted to be able to make a choice.
Well, what are your guys' favorite Pixar movies?
My favorite Pixar movie is WALL-E.
Mine is The Incredibles.
What's yours, Em?
I don't know. I'd have to think about it because now I feel like this style is so different than some of those other ones. It's hard to match them up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
well, a lot of times people will ask me, like, I'm like known as the Disney freak at work, so I get asked questions a lot. Like, they will ask me, like, what's your favorite Pixar movie? And I tell them WALL-E, and everybody always acts really, really surprised because that one is also the same. It's not a typical Pixar movie, but that's why I love it. You know, so Incredibles, is that a typical Pixar movie and is it grade A? Yeah, it is. But so I feel like people probably wouldn't be like, huh, if you said that. But when I say WALL-E, sometimes people are like, what?
I mean, I don't know. I think in terms of Pixar movies, I think they're like classics. What I consider to be a Pixar movie is something that is like an anthropomorphic or non-human creature. A character is a fully realized character, and they go on an adventure. So your Toy Stories, your Finding Nemo's, those...
Even Coco.
And Coco, sure. Those are your pretty classic standard Pixar movies. Mm. And then they've since branched out into more human characters with fantastical elements like Brave and the Incredibles and Onward and
stuff
like that.
Still an adventure they gotta go on.
Right, yeah, absolutely. So I wouldn't say WALL-E is definitely out of the realm of classic Pixar movie.
But I think if you're... I don't know. It's just
it's
so
just
hard
not
to...
It's not the one that most people would say. Okay, Lou, what do you
My
think?
Rating is a 9. I liked it a lot. I like I said, I talk bad about it, which usually goes opposite at the end. And Like I mentioned earlier, what sold me was that I was not expecting him to pass up the opportunity to see dad to his other brother. That really sold me on this movie, so I'm giving it a solid 9.
Awesome. He's got to go see the babies.
Mic drop. Are you
also, listeners, you've seen me keep getting up. It's because my baby, a.k.a. my dog, just wants to wild out and play fetch in the middle of our recording. But he's asleep now because the storm scared him, so he's good.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's go with Andre next.
I think I'm going to give this movie an 8. It's really good. It's very funny. It's solid. But yeah, for some reason, and it made me cry. I don't even know why I'm necessarily saying this, but it feels like it didn't have all of the Pixar magic that I was waiting for. You know, it's kind of hard to describe because the characters are fantastic. I really love all of the relationships there. It's animated spectacularly. It looks dope. It's pretty funny. Maybe it's not as funny as I wanted it to be. I don't know. Maybe,
yeah, I thought it was
maybe
funny.
There's just something holding me back from giving it a higher score that I can't quite pinpoint at the moment. Okay. But 8.
That's a good rating, Emily.
I'm going to give it a 9 as well. I would give it a 9.5 because I really liked it. I thought it was really good. But if it could have been... Now, this is a weird thing to say, but if it could have been 10 minutes shorter, I would have maybe been like, because I agree with Michelle, you said it was a little slow in the middle.
A little bit.
Not exactly sure where it was slow, because it's not like I can think of a scene that could have been taken out, but maybe if each scene was a little bit shorter. Like,
I agree.
Just shortening it up, making it a little bit more succinct, I would have felt like it was moving faster.
Right.
The scene with the college friend.
The scene with the college friends?
Yeah, you don't need that.
Oh, the scene. Luis is talking about the scene.
That's at the beginning, though. For me, it was in the middle.
I suppose. But all of the other scenes just were very hefty. And they were great. But I also felt like each piece, and maybe it was supposed to feel like that because each piece was another part of the quest and they were moving. You know what I mean? They had to get through like each battle, which I'm cool with. But it did. It was a little bit slow. I was still super interested.
Yeah.
But if it could have been shortened up like a little bit, I think I would have enjoyed it even more. But the friends I thought were funny. And I liked the music. The score was great.
I really did too. There was one song that they kept going back to. You know, every Pixar movie kind of has that where it's like, here's this
melody
with with a theme with a score. And I told Andre, I was like, there it is. Like, I noticed it more upon this viewing. I was like, there's that Pixar tune where I was like, yeah, I like that.
The one thing I will say that I kept talking about, which again is very weird, was their skin and hair was so beautifully done. Like the colors, how they're blue, but you can also see like the pinky like tones underneath their skin. It was almost like pearlescent. Like that part of the animation just struck me and I couldn't stop like staring at how beautiful like the characters themselves looked, even though they weren't always the most beautiful characters. But like the Manticore was beautifully animated, even though she was scary as you know what.
Yeah.
That's Pixar for you. She's I thought scared. They did a really good job with the sky. I kept looking at the sky. I always look at like background stuff. Okay, I'm going to give this movie an 8.5. I'm giving it a little bit higher than Andre because all the fantasy stuff really appealed to me. I thought it was really funny. At its core, like the lesson of this movie and the ending was absolutely brilliant. And I think upon more viewings of this, I would probably give it higher ratings, you know, like as I go on and I grow to love it more. So I'm going to give it a solid 8.5.
Yeah.
It's a really good movie. I'll probably watch it again like next week. So.
Might be in the mood to watch it again tonight. We'll see.
Actually, I think I'm gonna watch Cars 2 tonight.
Oh, have fun with that. I'm gonna go in a different room and not watch it.
No, you're gonna watch it.
I hope you like it because, like I said, the second time I watched it, I was like, oh, this is much better than I remember.
I was thinking that on our Crack in the Vault episode after this, Andre pulled up this page. And it has all the ratings of every single Pixar movie on Rotten Tomato. And I think we should just say the rating and say if we think we agree or disagree with it. Like the critic
rating. I'll participate with that for sure.
Yeah, I think that's fun. Because we've basically done all the Pixar movies now, except for for the car sequels, right? That's all we haven't done. So,
Listeners,
let us know, I guess, if you want us to do the car.
Planes
is
not Pixar.
Not Pixar.
It's Disney.
So they share both of those, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
We haven't done Finding Dory. We haven't done Incredible. Did we do both Incredibles?
The
I don't think
no,
so.
No, that's what I think. I think a lot of the sequels we haven't
it's
done.
It's the sequels, yeah.
So, listeners, let us know. We did Monsters University.
Oh, that's right.
listeners, let us know if you want us to continue with sequels. But for next week, we're going to do something a little different that I am actually kind of excited about because I'm not a huge – I don't know a lot about this franchise, but I know Emily and your mom especially likes this franchise a lot. So I'm pretty excited. We're going to do the 2011 live action with Jason Segel, The Muppets.
The Muppets. That's right.
We need some humor, some Muppety humor up in here. And
it's,
I think
it's redone Muppet movie.
It's a redone Muppet movie. And I think I need to learn a little bit more about The Muppets because I don't have much knowledge about The Muppets.
They're
so.
Totally. All you need to know is it is totally ridiculous. They break out into random songs, so it's totally like a musical.
I can't wait.
And it's very catchy but ridiculous.
Well, yeah. I can't wait. I'm very excited just to watch a silly, ridiculous Muppet movie. So
it's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be fun.
So check us out. Then, in the meantime, you can hang out with us on social media. We are at The Walt Vault Pod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Go there. Leave a comment. Let us know what you thought of Onward. If you've watched it yet, you know, watch it right now. If you're not, I know you're not doing anything else. And let us know what you think of our next movie, The Muppets. You can send an email to contact@thewaltvaultpod.com. We'll read your message on the show. You can support us over on Patreon at patreon.com/thewaltvault. And you can hit subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That will help us out. Leave a review, leave a rating, do all that stuff. Scratch your back. It'll be all helpful. Thank you guys so much for listening. That's been it for now. The vault is now closed.
Bye.